Tuesday 9, February 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May the Lord bless you for tuning in today to the broadcast. The Calvary Hour is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. And I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. And in Ezekiel chapter 8, we're given the reasons why God would have to send the children of Israel into captivity. And it was because of sin that was in their lives, in the camp. It was idolatry, and that idolatry would, of course, turn to adultery, and that adultery would turn to perversion. And those are the three steps down. You'll find that in the book of Romans chapter 1 as well. That idolatry and then the sins of the flesh go hand in hand. So after the Lord had brought Ezekiel back and showed him the idolatry in the city of Jerusalem, and then in the house of God, and the wickedness of the Sanhedrin and the priests that were in the house of God, he brings him to the door of the gate of the Lord's house. And Father, do bless us with thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading now from Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 14. And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now, we've been over this many times, but it was a very immoral thing. It was like the women that were weaving the doors for their houses of prostitution back in 2 Kings chapter 23 when Josiah was cleansing the temple. He had to go in and break down the house of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord where the women wove hangings for the grove. The women wove hangings for the grove. I understand they were weaving the doors like to the tents or their places of prostitution. Now we saw in one of the previous broadcasts the sins and some of the people at Corinth, their lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 7, Paul had rebuked the church because they were allowing a wicked man to continue to be there in the church, and he was living in sin with his stepmother, and the church wouldn't have anything to do with it as far as rebuking it is concerned. They were just ignoring it. So Paul had to tell them that they were going to have to deliver that person over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, he said in chapter 5, verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21, he had to rebuke them again. He said, unless when I come, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness or unbridled lust which they have committed. Now, we too are to purge out the evil, to purge out the leaven out of our lives. Where the Bible makes it clear that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And so if we don't get the leaven out, pretty soon you're going to have to take what's a little bit that's left and start over with that. That's how sometimes new churches start. A sin gets a foothold in the church, nobody will have anything to do with it. And so it just kills the church and those who have a love for God and a love for the church. If they can't get the evil out of it, the wickedness out of it, then they just have to come out and go somewhere else or else maybe even start another church. That's not that they're going to start a perfect church. There's no such thing as a perfect congregation. We have a perfect Lord. We have a perfect word. I'll tell you that. The head of the church is perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's a scriptural church, the word of God is perfect, is pure. Thank God for that. But as far as we people are concerned, we should be desiring to live what's right. I like the way Evangelist Jack Green said it years ago. He said, since Christ is sinless, we certainly ought to sin less. Our desire should be to live a sanctified life. We are positionally sanctified when we're saved, according to Hebrews chapter 10. But we should also be being practically sanctified day by day in our lives. That means to be spiritually healthy, to be set apart from sin. Now, in the church at Galatia, they had some big-time problems there. I told you that we have looked at these problems in the Old Testament. We've started looking at these in the New Testament, and we are told what these problems are in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21, especially enumerating the problems of the flesh that plague us. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. That means they're clearly seen. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that simply means unbridled lust, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's just as clear as it can be. Now, I'm not Mr. Holier than thou art sitting here preaching to you today. I have my battles with the flesh as well. But sin is sin, and flesh is flesh. We cannot trust the flesh, and God help us not to give ourselves over to sin. We have enough trouble as it is, do we not? And again, referring back to the Apostle Paul, if you want to read a tremendous article, a tremendous information, tremendous portion of Scripture, I should say, on the great battle between the spirit and the flesh, you read Romans chapter 7. Paul, the Holy Spirit of God, through Paul, defines it so well, of having this great problem that when we would do good, evil is present with us. And my friend, I believe if you'll be just strictly honest, you'll have to admit that your old carnal nature is bent toward these things. I know that mine is. I'm so glad when God saves us, He gives us a new nature, but He does not remove the old nature. And we need to feed the new nature and subdue the old nature. We're to cast down every thought and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, I want you to think with me about a couple of things as we start looking at the sins in the churches over that's mentioned over in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. There were seven churches that John wrote to over in Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. And these churches, I know they were literal churches. They were local churches located in Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. But I personally believe this also, that these churches represented different segments of the church age. Well, you say, Preacher Bill, what is the church age? Well, I believe the church age started at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down to dwell in the hearts of men. And I believe that the church age will continue until the rapture of the church. That is when the church is snatched up, taken up to meet the Lord in the air. That I define as the church age. I won't quibble with you about it. There are some folks who declare that the church was in the Old Testament, that you'll find the church in the book of the Gospels and so forth. But I believe that the local church, as we know it, was established. Wherever it was established, it was activated. Let's put it this way. It was activated in Acts chapter 2 and will continue to be so until God calls out the church in Revelation chapter 19 when it is called up hither. So in the church age, there are seven different periods in the church age that I personally believe are represented by these seven churches here that are mentioned in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And that's what we're going to be looking at on our next broadcast. We'll start with Ephesus. You know the great problem with the church of Ephesus, though that was the first of the church age, and though there was much good that could be said about it, as we'll see on our next broadcast, they did have a sin problem. And theirs was not immorality. Theirs was they had left their first love. Just like in the book of Romans, when men refused to glorify God as God, neither were they thankful. They turned themselves into vain imagination. Well, I see our time is out for today's broadcast. But if you will, be reading through Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And God willing, that's where we'll pick up for our next broadcast as we're looking at the sin problems of the New Testament church. And the ultimate goal is that God help us not to fall into these sins, not to turn into these sins, so that God doesn't have to deal with us like he had to deal with Israel and send them into captivity. Father, so grant it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join us for our next broadcast if you can.